All right, happy Sabbath, and good afternoon, everyone. I was really afraid I was going to say good morning. All right. Today, I'd like us to take a closer look at a commandment that maybe doesn't always get the attention that it deserves. Sometimes we, and I'm saying we as people in general, not necessarily us, but you know, humanity in general, we focus heavily on the more outward sins. You know, things that have a more immediate impact. Murder, adultery, stealing, lying. You know, these are the things that we tend to focus on because they're things that have a big impact. But we tend to forget that God dedicated an entire commandment to something considerably more quiet, more internal. Yet this commandment speaks directly to the heart, where so many of our actions begin. Today, we're going to take a look at the 10th commandment. So let's turn to that scripture together. We'll read it, and then we'll walk through why this particular instruction is so important. So let's turn to Exodus 20. Exodus 20 and verse 17. And we'll get this instruction. It's pretty simple and straightforward. It says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, or his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Like I said, straightforward. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. And I think this commandment is one we often glance over, and I said not intentionally, but simply because maybe as humans we tend to put the most important thing on a list of 10. Last is the most important thing, right? You know, when you think 1 to 10, last is often the least important, while the first is the most important. But, you know, it's not an afterthought. And while society might give the 10th commandment maybe considerably less attention than it deserves, I believe God placed it last for a reason, with specific purpose and intention. When I was in college, I studied advertising along with graphic design. Clint mentioned I'm the graphic designer upstairs, and I am. But in advertising, you read about research and how people tend to remember things because you have to write copy or words for an advertisement. And research consistently shows that people, when they read a large block of text, they read or they tend to remember the very beginning and the very end. The things in the middle, they tend to get a little lost, you know. So when writing an advertisement, you put those most important things at the beginning and the end. Now, God knows exactly how our minds work. He designed them. So it's my belief, and maybe this is just me, but I think that he placed coveting at the very end to emphasize its significance. But why? Why is it significant? Because covetousness, out of all the sins listed, is a sin of the heart. And sin of the heart, it doesn't stay hidden. You know, it tends to, you know, we keep it quiet, we tend to not think about it, or try to push it off, but it grows, and it leads to other sins. In Matthew 5 and verse 27 through 28, Jesus talks about this. He talked about explaining that adultery lust is adultery of the heart. And he talked about hatred basically being a sin that leads to other sins, to murder. So when left unchecked, a sin of the heart can turn into action. With covetousness, the danger isn't just turning coveting into one sin. It doesn't just lead to one sin. It can lead to any of the sins listed before it. So covetousness can lead to all other sins. And if you're wondering if that's really the case, let us consider to what you know, this is me speculating, but I believe it's the very first sin in Scripture. So it appears that the first sin is the last sin listed. So the last is the first, or the first is the last. Anyways, we read about this in Isaiah 14, and we can turn there. So Isaiah 14 and verse 12. These pages are getting old. They're sticking together. All right. We're probably all familiar with this story, but I want to point out some things that are significant here. It says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you were cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights.'" Oh, yeah. "The clouds. I will be like the Most High." Satan coveted something that was not his. And we tend to think of this sin as a sin of pride, but really he wanted something that was the position and power that belonged only to God. Because of his covetousness, he placed his own desire above God's will. He put himself as God before God. In doing so, he broke the first commandment. His covetousness then grew into deceit. That broke the ninth commandment. And his deceit started a rebellion. And it led astray a third of the angels. Furthermore, he's turned his covetousness to hatred towards us. Because he covets that power and glory that God has, but he also knows that God is preparing to give us that same power and glory. So we'll look at that. Let's look at what God is planning to give us and what Satan covets so much. So turn to 1 John, and we're going to read 1 John 3, and we'll read verse 2. So 1 John 3 and verse 2. Here we read, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We shall be like him. Isn't that what Satan wanted? He wanted to be like the Most High. And he covets that so much that he despises what the future holds. And he hates us because of what God promised to us. His covetousness started in his heart, then produced lies and destruction and suffering throughout human history. It was sin leading to sin, leading to sin, and so forth. Now, I realize this is an extreme example, probably the most extreme example, but it shows how dangerous coveting can be. You know, we tend not to think of it that way, as being that dangerous, but Satan threw away the power and the glory that God had already given him because he wanted something that wasn't for him. And when we covet, we're essentially saying, "What God has given me isn't enough. I want something more." And it minimizes the blessings God has already provided. And we risk trading something temporary for something eternal. So what about us? What about us here in this room? Is there something we might find ourselves longing for a little bit too much? You know, maybe it's a relationship that never happened. You know, where there's the things that we tend to think about when it comes to coveting, a bigger house, a nicer car, the stuff. But what about the good old days? That last one you might not have expected. And it might seem harmless. But nostalgia can turn into something that we covet. the good old days. We begin valuing a distorted, like, memory more than the life God is giving us right now, and more than and valuing it more than what the future holds. Now, it's not wrong to reminisce, and it's not wrong to want and hope for better things. You know, enjoy the fruits of your labor. Scripture tells us that. But desire becomes covetousness, or coveting, when it starts interfering with our relationships, when it starts stealing our peace, when it starts pulling our focus away from God. Now, fortunately, the scriptures give us a powerful tool to fight covetousness: thankfulness. Gratitude shifts our attention from what we lack to what God has already provided or continuing to provide. It helps us bring peace, or helps bring us peace and joy, by reminding us of God's blessings. He's given us so many physical and spiritual blessings, and they're extremely abundant. Above all, we've been given the incredible promise of becoming part of God's eternal family. There's simply nothing on this earth that compares to that gift. And Mr. Porter mentioned that Thanksgiving's later on in just a couple of days. And so as we draw closer to Thanksgiving, I think this is a perfect time for us as individuals to pause and truly take stock of what God has done for us. Not just in the past year, past weeks, but throughout our entire walk with Him. When we choose gratitude, covetousness loses its grip on our heart. When we remember God's faithfulness, our desires fall into their proper place. And when we focus on the hope that God has set before us, our hearts become anchored and full of joy. Now, I pray that we all enter the days ahead with a heart of genuine thankfulness, with eyes fixed on the blessings that God has placed in our lives, and hearts strengthened by the promise of the kingdom to come.